Last week we were looking at Christ the healer, and we know he wants to touch us physically. One of the things that we often overlook is God wants to make us whole, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? Oh, okay. God wants to make us whole, spirit, soul, and body. Amen?
Amen.
And that means he wants to heal our innermost things. He wants to deal with things that may have been festering in our hearts, sometimes for years, decades. God wants to bring wholeness to you. So I'm going to invite my favorite preacher in the family, Caroline Whitehead.
Yay!
Right, we got there. Brilliant. So let's pray. Thank you, Father. Just pray you'd open our eyes to new truth, to your truth. You are the Spirit of Truth. I pray you bring revelation, you bring healing, you bring peace, you'd bind up the brokenhearted this day in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm just going to show you a picture. It's a bit foggy, but that is me at about the age of 10. And we went on a family trip to Israel, and I saw myself as being like a pilgrim. I put on my little duffel coat and put the hood up, and I was going everywhere trying to see what Jesus was doing. And in this instance, I keep this photo in my bedroom so that I look at it every day. Is just there, along with others, of course, to remind me that I am a pilgrim on a journey in this world. Isn't that right? We are all pilgrims. And I love, it says, we are paroikos, the Greek word paroikos, says my Greek. We're strangers, we're pilgrims, we're resident aliens who have our citizenship in another country, heaven. Isn't that right? And so, like the patriarchs of old, we're temporary in this life, traveling towards that heavenly city. And we have to view this life like that, knowing that not only is God going to work on us the whole way through, isn't that right? And he needs to, the whole way through. You never reach that point. No one has. And if anyone says they has, I think they're a bit confused. But but actually, we're all on this journey with God, aren't we? And one day we will reach that holy city, and we will all have no more tears, no more pain, no more crying. We will reach that place of beauty and perfection and peace. Okay, so Isaiah 61, you know this well. Have a look at it. We can read it together. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair or heaviness, as another version says. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Another version says, for his glory. I mean, what good news is this? Huh? This is what Jesus has come to do. Hours and hours. Yeah, I believe in counseling. Hours and hours of counseling would not get you that. Isn't that right? And so it's a picture, isn't it? Isaiah's prophetic picture of the day when everything will be restored, everything will be made new. And we're on that journey, as we was talking about. We haven't reached the fullness, right, of where this is going. But Jesus came and he said in Luke 4, verses 18 to 19, he said, I have fulfilled this today in your midst, when he went into the temple, didn't he, in his hometown, and he stood up. Imagine that. He stood up and he said, I've fulfilled this. And I'll go into a bit later. We all know what happened then. So anyway, life is really complex, isn't it? Yeah? Everyday life is challenging. And I remember when I was living in Asia, I remember the monsoon. We came in one place we went to, which is in Thailand, and it rained, and it didn't just rain. It's like somebody turned on the tap in heaven. And the streets, suddenly, within like no time, they were up to nearly our knees. And you'd be walking along, and there'd be like things floating, you know, all through all this water. And you just get stuff on you, and it was like, oh. And then you know, here in good old England, Newbury, you know, when I walk the dog, when I get out, even if I think I'm just going to tiptoe through the park, every time, isn't it true? You just look down, your feet are muddy. It's somehow got up your leg down, you know, and you sort of got it on your hand and you just can't help getting muddy. Isn't that right? And, you know, how about cleaning the house, men, right? The men, all you men who clean the house, isn't that right?
I do.
So, I mean, how, you know, you've just cleaned that floor, haven't you, Phil? And then I walk in with Milo and the mud's there again, isn't it? He's got a robot vacuum cleaner. And then those clothes, I mean, I just washed all of those and look at that, it's all back again. You know, it goes on and on, isn't it? And it's like, sometimes we think as Christians, well, I should have made it by now. But actually every day stuff happens to us, isn't that right? Every day life happens to you. And so that's the thing. It's like we never think, well, you know, I have been a Christian 100 million years. You know, it's like, no, God needs to work on us the whole way through. Isn't that right? Sanctification is a process that goes on forever. And the formation, this is what I love. This whole topic at the moment I'm looking into, the formation of Christ in me. Isn't that what you want? Because imagine if we were, I mean, I've heard, you know, John Stott did this wonderful talk about how in certain other countries, people said if Christians were more Christ-like, you know, all the missionaries could go home because everyone would turn to Christ. Isn't that right? If we were more Christ-like, the world would look different. Isn't that right? And this is not like a heavy, heavy religious message, because you'll find out that I'm not going in that direction at all. But you know, it's, I mean, I have, well, you know, people that you work with and they go around spouting Bible verses and talking about God, and yet they're mean to their colleagues right in front of you. Cannot believe the things they say, you know, about others. The rude things they say, as soon as someone leaves a room, ouch. Yeah, I wish they would just be quiet and not wave their Bible, quite honestly, yeah? Just submerge, please. And then I have to look at myself and I know I'm not perfect, okay? Totally, we all know that. But it's just that sense in which, come on, we need to be the stuff, not just speak the stuff, isn't that right? And I bet you're thinking, oh, I wish someone else could hear this right now. We need to hear it. Anyway, Jesus came to give us what? Abundant life. In the middle of all the mess, in the mud, right? When your feet get wet, I hate wet feet, don't you? Oh, when your feet get wet, you know, he wants us to have a blessed internal life. Because what goes on in here and in here comes out of this one, mouth, and in your actions. Isn't that right? Our internal life determines our external life. And, you know, so many Christians are going around carrying baggage. Half the time, you know, when people are set in a way of living or a way of thinking or a way of behaving, they're so set in it they don't even realize it. That's when we need each other, not to go around pointing fingers, but to love the goodness out of other people. Isn't that right? You know, you can go around a room and you can see all the problems with people. You can look at yourself and think about all the things that are wrong with you. Or you can say, no, God, you've got something better. I'm going to rise up to being better. I want to see you fulfill your destiny. That's the kind of Christians I want to work with, isn't that right? I want to see you, you know, do well. I want to see you achieve. I want to see you be your best. And so it's like, you know, we look at the negative behaviors in our lives. We don't always see them or know them, but some people really do. And right now, some people might be watching or listening and feeling really captive to stuff. The good news is, isn't it, that God is the one who says he has come to set the captives free. He can do it like no one else. Isn't that right? Okay, let's get all two. We're going to get there really fast. Okay, so we need to be good stewards of ourselves. Now, we think about being good stewards of so many other things, but do we really think about being good stewards of ourselves, of our thoughts? Do we really think about, hey, I'm going to be really, really conscious of my internal life? As Phil said, body, mind, and spirit. And I teach this in the hospital to the staff. I say, you are body, mind, and spirit. And they go, ooh. And if one part is not well, the other part will not be well. You need spiritual health care to come and help you. And so, you know, it's like each part of us interacts. Isn't that right? Okay, here we go. Here's my tree. I drew this tree. It's a bit strange, but you can get the gist of it. You can see that in our tree, we have our roots and we have our fruit. Okay, so you can see what is pretty obvious what this tree means. I want this tree to really go into your consciousness, to think about looking at the fruit in your life. So sometimes you might wake up and sometimes you're going along and you're feeling really angry and you think, what's going on there? You know, and it's like just being aware, you know, of why am I suddenly feeling that? Or why have I behaved in that way to that person? Or why am I not handling this situation in the right way? And then we can say, Lord, is there a root? Is there a root cause? Is there something deep down within, either from last week, from a hurt, or from something I did or didn't do, or something years ago even? So there's roots, aren't there? Isn't that right? So some of us have some wonky, rotten fruit right now. Yuck. Whatever's going on in the inside, as we know, comes out. Okay? So backsliding, you don't just suddenly backslide. Okay? What happens is one day you're worshipping like you were this morning, you know, when you got happy and the first song. and so you're flying high in the glory. And then the next thing you know, a negative thought. Well, you pray for something God isn't listening to. Oh, who said that? Oh, so I went, I won't bother praying again. I've already prayed, you know. Oh, you know, and then, why do you want to go to church today? Look, you went last week, look, really. You know, and they're just, no one really talks to you there anyway. And, hold on, who's saying all these things to me? Oh, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, not going to go. Oh, I know, and yeah, I don't really need to read my Bible because I've basically read it before. But it's seriously though, backsliding happens really slowly. Okay, and it's keeping a close account, a short account with God. It's like that in marriage. My dad said to us, didn't he, right when we got married, he said, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And we kept that through our whole marriage, didn't we? And we don't, you know, you don't have a fight and go to bed shouting at each other. That is not going to happen. So it's like, because Holy Spirit will get you. You try and walk away, he'll get you before you get to the kitchen. Isn't that right, Phil? Anyway, so yeah, a divorce also doesn't happen suddenly, does it? Like you get this, you know, it's like people say, oh, we fell out of love. Well, you don't just fall out of love, you decide not to love anymore. Slowly, 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 isn't that right? And so it's that thing where we keep short accounts with God. We keep short accounts with each other. You know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Isn't that right? So when you feel like a bit tempted to say, oh, I know this about this person, and do you know that? And or critical word, or a little put down. You know, I'm sure none of you do this. This happens at work, right? Not in church. Subtle controlling words. Ouch. You know, the stuff that's going on in our hearts will come out. The Holy Spirit. But it's this thing. None of us are perfect. We're not perfect. We don't get it right. I mean, we all have grumpy days and say the wrong thing, don't we? But it's that place where you say, God, I want to keep short accounts with you and with others. I want to keep, try and control this mouth. So, okay, zooming along. Living free. What does that look like? What does freedom look like? You know, I said this to someone the other day, and I've done loads and loads of time with people over the years, many, many different types of people coming to have prayer sessions for wholeness. And I always say things like, everyone has a history. They might look like they're perfect, but they're actually not. No one is. No one has got it all together. You come here with no shame. There is no judgment here. We all have a history. Isn't that right? And, you know, what does freedom look like? Well, one of the things freedom looks like is the freedom to be yourself. Now, if you could look in the mirror, or if you could just look around at someone and just have a think about how amazing they are, right? Look around the room. Look at all these different, interesting people with all different giftings, with all different ways of seeing the world, something different to bring in every situation. Isn't that right? How, and comparison is the thief of joy. So when you look at someone else, as all social media tries to make you think, well, that person's life is perfect. Oh my gosh, look at them. They've just baked a cake that's really good. And that person, you know, and you're like, by the end of it, you're like, oh my gosh, I just want to go back to bed. And, you know, it's like, no, we mustn't let that happen to us. Isn't that right? And the kids today really struggle with that, with comparing themselves to all the stuff they're seeing on social media, right? You know, control is rooted in fear. Gossip is rooted in insecurity and jealousy. Jealousy is rooted in lack of self-worth and lack of self-esteem. Look at all these roots. Ouch. Yeah? But we can share the journey with others, can't we? And we can have others help us along the way to just love some of that stuff out of us. People that love you, you know, when you're messing up, they don't make you feel condemned. They make you feel like, hey, come on, let's help you out of that. What are you doing that for? It's a bit like that. Do you know what I mean? It's very different to being told off. Okay, moving along fast. Right. Galatians 5:22. You know this to 23. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Should we say it? Love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit. I love this, you know, if you were to go out now to a vineyard, would you see the grapes flying round the vineyard? No, they're not flying round, are they? They're what? Attached to the vine. And this is not a do-goody message, like you be good, everyone, you know, lift your game, get your fruit right. We know the fruit of the Spirit is that whole abiding thing. And it's when I turn my affections towards Jesus throughout the day. I just take a moment, I walk down the hall or I go somewhere in the car and I just check myself. And I say, Lord, I'm just with you now. And I allow myself to just be with him. And the next thing I know, I'm feeling love for someone. You know? You know that feeling? And you think, oh, I must ring that person. And then you're thinking, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, and it's these moments where we're just abiding and we keep tracking in, checking in with God to say, how am I doing? How's my fruit? If you want to be really, really spiritual, who wants to be really, really spiritual? Who wants to have a really big ministry? Be on TV. You know, if you want to be really, really spiritual, you need to have lots of fruit. Yeah? Lots of fruit. That's the most spiritual you can be. Lots of fruit, lots of love, lots of patience, lots of gentleness, lots of self-control, lots of faithfulness. You know, if we could be faithful to each other, wow. We'll be going, who are these people? And I think they do. They see people come here and they say, oh, they're so friendly and kind. And, you know, lots of visitors say that. So what's the fruit in my life? Right now, you know, it's like daily we can do this. Check for fruit. Look for your fruit. Uh-oh, is there a bit of rotten fruit there? Why am I suddenly feeling fear? Why do I suffer with anxiety? Why is there jealousy in my heart? Am I living free? And I love this. Rachel does a lovely version of this. She says, she goes with her team in Madagascar and she says to them, so I'm wondering if some of us might have a pebble in our shoe. And they can really relate to that because it's very practical. And so they go, well, actually, you know, and I need to deal with this or I need to forgive this or, you know, and it's just this sense where we can be not going around and saying, you know, I forgive you for what you did. No, that never works. But what wrong thinking am I allowing in my head? What wrong attitudes? What critical things am I allowing in my life? You know, when you have a critical thought about someone, you're partnering with the accuser. Ouch. That's like what you're doing. You're like going, okay, devil, let's have a thought about someone. Critical thought. That's horrible, isn't it, when you think of it like that? When you have a good, kind, loving thought about someone, you're partnering with the Holy Spirit. So what thoughts do we want to have and who do we want to partner with? That's what I'm thinking. Okay, so as we go through life, as I said, the stuff happens, the dirt happens. Okay, so we need to take time to be with God. You know, quite often, you know, I see a lot of traumatic things, as you know, and in what I do in my other work. And I have to take time to reflect. Now, you may not see, you know, I won't list some of the things, but you have stuff go on in your families. You see things on the news. You have a heart for a people group that are suffering. Perhaps, you know, your family members are going through difficult times. You know, it's like we need time to have our soul restored. Isn't that right? We are flooded with information, negative. The news. What about the news feed? Can I have the happy news feed, please? As well as the stuff that, you know, I need to pray and know about. And so, you know, it's those times. What do you do to restore your soul? This is my challenge to you. What do you do to restore your soul? For me, it's like quite often I will lie on the grass and look up at the trees. Or I walk the dog and I'll stop and I'll look at the buds. It's just simple. And I'll just be with God. What do you do? Everyone needs to take time to restore their soul. You can't go on doing. And I know, you know, I love doing and I love being busy. I love action and excitement. But I also know that I won't survive if I don't allow my soul to be restored regularly, even in the middle of the day, regularly. So, okay, wounds and hurts will come. That is a Bible promise, isn't that right? Has anyone here ever been wounded? Anyone ever been offended? Some people not been, right? So offenses will come. And you think about, I mean, Jesus, the moment he did his declaration of Isaiah, you know, they tried to throw him off a cliff, the people in his hometown. The hardest offenses, aren't they, are the ones that come from friends, maybe from Christians, maybe from family members. They're the ones that hurt the most. They really hurt, don't they? It's really painful. And today I'm thinking about Mother's Day and, you know, I love my mum. My mum's been great. I'm not a perfect mum. She's not a perfect mum. I went to see a play and it was all about this person with mother issues. And I was like, God was nailing me in a play. So I went to see it twice to make sure I got the message. And, you know, it's like I wanted to come into Mother's Day this year really, really free from stuff. You know, stuff went on when I was a teenager. And not anything really dramatic. But, you know, I just wanted to just get rid of any of that. You know, have a fresh start with mum this year. And, you know, perhaps some of you today, you're thinking about your mothers, fathers, parents hurt. So many people carry parent hurts. It's unbelievable. If you're saying you weren't hurt by your parents, I don't think you had any. Okay? So it's like we need to really think about, you know, how has this formed my character? Because in this, if you do child psychology, when you do teaching, you know, you learn all about how the formative years shape your character and it goes on the rest of your life. And maybe there are things from then, maybe it's recent things where your mum showed favoritism to one of the other kids or your dad, you know, didn't, you know, really ever celebrate what you've achieved in your life or whatever that is. It's time to say, Lord, I want to get you right into the middle of that. And you'd be surprised when you invite him in, he comes so gently. He comes and he brings healing. And you can find restoration of those really deep, deep wounds a lot of people have connected with their parents. Okay. All right. You still there? Yeah. Right. So I haven't got another slide yet, have I? Well, we can put that up. I'm not used to doing these. John 8:32, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So when you know who God says you are, you know, if your mother or father, they didn't give you identity, they didn't protect you in the way they should have, you're able to come and say to God, I know what that should have looked like. Can you come in and show me what you think of me? Right? They taught me that I was not good enough. I'd never live up to their standards. What do you think of me? And you can let the truth in. And the truth really does set us free. Isn't that right? Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. It's unlikely that most people in this room wouldn't have been brokenhearted. Yeah, I'm not talking about, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend stuff, or I'm talking about brokenhearted because you've been had loss. Yeah, has anyone ever lost a loved one? Has anyone ever, has anyone ever like lost something really important to them? Perhaps you've lost your homeland. Perhaps you've lost your home. You know, people lose different things. And the sense of loss and brokenheartedness people are carrying in their lives, it's that point where we can say, Jesus, I need to lean into you for that. I need to lean, you know, like John did when he leant on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper. I'm very jealous of that, aren't you, Phil? And he leant in and he would have heard the heartbeat of Jesus towards him, that constant beat of love. That's what you'll get when you come with your broken heart. Isn't that right? You don't come to judgment, you come to that place of acceptance. Okay, so nearly there. Key to freedom, we know this, forgiveness. Isn't that right? So people will come and they'll think, oh, well, we're going to have a session here and you're going to deliver me. No, no, you're going to do some work. And that will involve you forgiving people. And people have a misunderstanding, don't they, of forgiveness, right? They think that when they forgive someone, they're letting them off the hook. Is that what happens? No, it's not what happens. They're in God's hands. We hand them to Jesus. I remember doing a session with someone and they said, now, should we try and forgive your mother or sister, whoever it was? No. Okay, let's do a bit more praying around this area and around here, and then we'll come back. How about we hand them to Jesus? Okay. And then eventually we got to, would you like to really forgive them from your bottom of your head? Yes. But it's like, it's a choice. Okay, it's not a feeling. You don't feel like you want to forgive people. People don't deserve to be forgiven half the time. Isn't that right? Yeah, and I remember one lady, she went to her sister, they had a fallout, right, for 20 years. And then one day she decided to go to her and say, you know, I forgive you for what you did. And the sister went, what did I do? I didn't do anything. She didn't even know that she'd done anything or recognize or even then think that it was wrong. And it was just a mess. I think, I'm not sure that's the best way to do it. Usually we're the only ones being harmed when we don't forgive. Isn't that right? We've got the cage around our own hearts, okay? And you will need to forgive over and over and over again in life. Isn't that right? Every day almost you'll need to forgive people. If you want to live free, if you want to live kind of messed up and junky, you know, full of like rotten apples, then don't forgive. But if you want to live free, if you want to have that, it's like when you forgive someone, it's like, you know, when you drink pure water, it's like that, isn't it? Or it's like lying in the sea when it's cool and the sun is, wind is blowing. It's like that, that awesome feeling that you get when you're in a beautiful place of peace. And forgiveness is, you know, after all, the foundation of our faith, isn't it? Because we were forgiven when we didn't deserve it. And, you know, my favourite sermon would be to come in, for somebody to come in and get a big plank and go around and wave it around the room and say, anyone, you know, don't look at the sin in others' eyes. Look at our own. Forgive. And it's that sense in which, you know, this is how you find freedom. Freedom is not something that's done to you. It's something you choose. And this, yes, the Holy Spirit then comes and goes whoosh on it. Isn't that right? The anointing comes and it's like you've broken. When you forgive someone, you've broken that, the enemy's right to come and attack you and get you in that again. It's really powerful. The action has happened in the spirit realm. Now, we know about the spirit realm. The spirit realm is real, isn't it? And the transactions that happen there happen through us forgiving in these circumstances, don't they? And so that power is broken. And then you're going to walk out your freedom. You're going to work out with God how to live in a different way. Okay. Roots of negative behavior, hindrances blocking us. So we talk about ungodly beliefs. You know, say, for instance, you had an angry father. Oh, don't put your hand up if you did. But pick if your dad's here. No. Say, for instance, you had, you know, an alcoholic parent. Say, for instance, you had a parent who had no time for you. Okay? You may, when that's going on, you start forming ungodly beliefs about yourself. I'm not lovable. Oh, I'll never be good enough. Oh, why am I not good enough for them to spend time with me? All these different things start to form in children's hearts, in teenagers' hearts. They begin to form ungodly beliefs. And it's that place where we say, Lord, I want to let you shine your light in on my heart. Shine into my heart and show me the things that are holding me back from relating well to others, from relating well to you. And you'd be surprised, so many of the times the issues that we have with parental figures in our lives affect our relationship with God. Isn't that right? So, you know, it's knowing this truth, knowing who God says he is, because then you find the perfect father, don't you? You find the perfect parent when you find God. Isn't that right? We sang that today, Father God, didn't we? As a man thinks, so he is. Isn't that right? Yes. Guess how many average thoughts a person has a day? The average person. How many thoughts? Have a guess. 30,000. Minimum thoughts a day. So if you've got 30,000 thoughts going around in there, you're going to either choose whether you're going to have God thoughts or you're going to have those other thoughts, right? That are not true, the ungodly belief thoughts connected with that. And you know, a huge percentage, Christian neuroscientists have, I've done a lot of research on this, huge percentage of illnesses, of mental problems, of emotional problems come from thoughts. It all starts with a thought. So you think this one thing, and then the next thing, you know. Have you been walking along and you're like, I had this thought, and oh my gosh, how did I go off down over there into that? I don't want to be there. Come back. Or you're walking along and you smell cooking of something and takes you to something, somewhere. How our senses bring back memories, don't they? You know, or you see something and it reminds you. The smell of, perhaps it's the smell of the grass being cut that reminds you of something, yeah? Or it, so many things take us down, these thoughts. And when our thoughts begin to travel, we need to let them travel with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? And get them back in if they're going in the wrong direction. Okay, I'm not quite sure why I was going to say this one, but I know, it's about guarding what we think about others. So this is a little story I've made up. There were people on a rota to serve lunch. One turned up early, another was late, another one was slow, and there wasn't much lunch that day. The one who turned up early spent so much time grumbling and complaining to everyone that the others weren't there. So they didn't do anything. The late one criticized the slow one for not being efficient enough. So he didn't do anything. The slow one sat down and refused to help because the others were too fussy. And just this sense in which we can go into a situation with God, right? Or we can go into a situation saying, God, how do you want me to think and feel and behave in this situation? Isn't that right? Is there a lie I'm believing in this situation? Am I partnering with you or with the other one in this situation? You know, years ago, talking about roots, okay? Years ago, I had to face a struggle of sudden disaster in my life. And I take a deep breath because I don't cry when I do this anymore. But someone in my family died really suddenly as I was walking in my office door. I heard they died. I could not, every time I walked in that door or even got to the front door, I'd be thinking thoughts like, somebody's died. Something bad's going to happen this time. It was just, I was really tormented by it. And yeah, didn't know quite how to get hold of this. I eventually got there by actually bringing it to God and getting others to pray with me. But interesting, isn't it, that the root of sudden fear of sudden disaster was this incident, right? So there are life-changing incidents in our life where you can go back and go, hold on, that fear that I have about that, it goes back to that. And that's when the Holy Spirit will show you where things come from. And so it's not like going, don't be afraid, have faith in Jesus, have faith. No, it's like, okay, you've got a legitimate fear. You've got a legitimate anxiety. Let's go and ask God, how can we sort that one out together? Yeah, not sort of like, you know, quoting scriptures like, it's no, God wants to come in and heal the brokenhearted. Isn't that right? And I'll tell you something amazing about that door. A few years after that, I went through that door and I'd just done a pregnancy test. And guess what I found out? I found out life. As I walked through the same door, God enabled me to find out about life when I'd seen the worst death, the sudden death of my father, then the birth of my son through the same door. Isn't God amazing? He's so amazing. I mean, why the same thing at the same time? This is God, right? He's the one that comes to heal the brokenhearted. He's the one that comes to set the captives free. There's nothing that he can't come in and fix. Isn't that right? And you sometimes think like, my pain, my hurt, my tragedy, my family, my issues. No. Well, God, that's a lie, isn't it? God can come in and heal anything. That's amazing. Just walking with him. So, okay. Nearly there. So last thing is really, have we got a new slide? Okay, we'll get there in a sec. So walking out your freedom, what does that look like? So the enemy will tell you, you're going to be stuck forever. You know, have you ever had that little voice recording going, you'll always be like this. You'll never be free from that. You'll always be like that. I've had teachers tell me that. You'll always be like that, you know, when you're in a bad teenage moment. And and maybe none of you did have one. Okay, you look like you didn't. Well, there we are. You're all perfect. Well, there'll be people that will be coming to the church one day who will need to hear this. Anyway, so, you know, the enemy will tell you you're done for. You know, and it'd be little subtle things, and you'll think, oh, yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, I really couldn't. No. Demolish every argument that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So that means that your thoughts are not allowed to just run wild in your head. Okay? So if you're having a thought, here's a little thought. Another thought. Is that something that Jesus would say to me? That thought you just had, is that something Jesus would say? That thought you just had about that person, is that something Jesus would say? Wow, this is quite powerful and easy. Okay, well, not really, because sometimes we love enjoying the bad thoughts. Hopefully not. Okay, so we put them through the what people call the Philippians filter. So if the thoughts I'm having that are going to cause this internal to come external negatively, are they... Keep track of my thoughts. Right, is that thing I was just thinking true? Is it right, noble, pure? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Is it something Jesus would want me to think? It's so easy in a way, and yet so difficult, isn't it? Because the mind of sinful man is death and tries to lure us in there. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is what? Life and peace. So I want to live in, I want to have life and I want to live in peace. Do you? So if you want to live in peace, you allow yourself to have those thoughts that go through your brain filtered. And I think it's so important to have people who guard you. So you need people in your life who you can be honest with. Isn't that right? And that is the joy of being in a fellowship. You know, it's like, take time with somebody else. Share how you really feel about something. Be open about your struggles. You know, be selective who you choose, because not everyone has the grace to carry the same things. Isn't that right? But it's allowing God in to shine his light. And finally, where are we up to? The last verse of this is, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So, God wants us to be his oaks, yeah? He wants to display his splendor through us, his glory through us. He wants to be glorified through us. And, you know, if we Christians could stand up and look like we love Jesus and that Jesus loves us, the world would be going, hey, what is it they've got? And, you know, he wants you to have a happy life, okay? God smiles when you smile. Did you know that? He laughs when you laugh about good things, of course. Not mean jokes. So it's God wants you to be happy in this life, because we are all, as I showed you at the start, there's that girl, where is she? There. All of you are on your own donkey. You've all on a pilgrimage. You're all on a journey with God. But you know, the most amazing thing is that he's with you, and you're not on it on your own, right? So you've got each other. What a blessing. You know what one of the biggest modern diseases is? Guess what it is? That's it, loneliness. People feel isolated and alone. So there's no need for anyone to feel that. If you do want prayer, if things have stirred up today connected with the past, perhaps trauma, I didn't even go anywhere near, there's so many things that we could have talked about. You know, if trauma's coming to the surface, please come and see us. Have a prayer time, have a session. It's confidential. We leave it in the room, we give it to Jesus, and we walk out. That's it, gone. Don't remember any of that. I have heard the most unbelievable things about people's lives, and it stayed there at the foot of the cross. Doesn't leave the room. So it's safe. You can come if you need prayer, okay? And just remember, yeah, that Jesus came. Can you remember this right now? Jesus came to set you free. He came to heal up every wound in your life. He came to enable you to be restored day after day after day. He restores our soul. He doesn't just do it at the end of our lives. He restores and restores. So I pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would come right now and shine your light into those dark places, into those hidden places, into those painful memories, Lord. Come and shine your light as only you can. And I thank you, when your light comes, there's healing, there's life. And I thank you, Lord, you would enable each one of us to watch that fruit, to look for the fruit in our lives, to long for the fruit, to walk with you, to walk in the Spirit, to be in step with the Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shine your light on us and let us live free. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.